The 11th Sibyl, Abyssus Sibylle, a novel written by Michele Sanvico. Prologue. A Dream in the Night. A full moon night, a night of radiance. A light breeze runs over the vast, sleepy expanse, gently caressing the grass made tender and damp by the fresh, glittering moisture. In the clear air, flooded with brightness pouring down from the glaring satellite, the lifeless plateau shines with light, as if suspended between the dark outline of the mountains, with their quietly sloping sides and the invisible stars banished from the sky by the silk-like, silvery brilliance, which, since time immemorial, carries men away into the enchanted realms of dreams. On the great silent plain, the boundless dome of the universe obscurely looms. Eerie currents creep down from the desolate regions above, with their gloomy, chilly fingers, drifting over the pale cliffs of stone, as if in reply to a sinister call, a mysterious, elusive appeal, rising suddenly from the secret depths of the barren mountains, a grievous invocation, uttered with an inaudible voice by the nether beings who live their lives, unnoticed, under the surface of the earth, within its unfathomable abysses. Only the huge imposing mass of Mount Vettore, crowned with divine refulgence, challenges the nocturnal sky, a cosmic void spangled with distant suns whose brightness utterly disappears under the moon's fierce blaze. Only the rocky bulk of that titanic mountain, hauled with anger onto earth from the womb of a perished sea, stands against the giant chasm above, eternally falling into the motionless darkness of deep space. Like a gigantic ship emerging in the still silence from the ocean of dreaming grass, and drenched in pure white light, the mountain guards the secret trails and elusive routes through which, as they rapidly ascend the steep slopes of the towering cliffs, the ancient dwellings of mighty divinities can be reached, the deities whose far-reaching rule, extending across the high ridges and dizzy crests drowned in the lifeless supernatural glare, expands as far as the evil elevation, grim and frightful, of Mount Sibyl. No sound breaks the glowing spell, the crystal, unaltered sleep of the landscape, now peacefully silent, only from a distance. A faint glimmer of lights, the passing of faraway voices, an unequivocal sign that sleep to somebody has not yet come. Among the houses and alleys of the small village of Castelluccio, in the mild air of the late night hour. This is the sight which presents itself to the traveller upon walking the Pian Grande in the middle of the night, as he hastens along the path with uneasy, alarmed steps, eager to reach friendly shelter, to see faces that are familiar to him, in the malevolent stillness, inebriating and fiendish, cast by the full moon. And the night is all glaring silence. Standing in the midst of the grassy plain, in the soft moisture, immersed in the earth scents, in the sharp, dazing fragrance of the herbage, in the burning, living beam of the moonlight, I am waiting with troubled uneasiness. I have reached the end of my long journey, a foolish and uncertain travel in the deceptive realm of dreams, in the frightful and ominous lordship of myth. I have brought to completion my weird search, my unusually eccentrical inquiry, my unwise investigation, of which the consequences shall be unpredictable and ill-omened. The night protectively enshrouds the open grounds, peaceful, unmoving. Now I'm mistrusting my very memories. An unreasonable, alarming fear is arising in me, that a series of events so uncanny might actually have never occurred, that a story so extraordinarily queer might have originated in no other territory than in the land enclosed within the visionary, unsubstantial boundaries of my own mind, for long exposed to the evil fascination of a powerful myth. However, so excessively acute and unceasing has been the grievous, obsessive call which has surged among these mountains, lying in darkness, so highly commanding has been the voice that, with a horrible quivering, has overwhelmed with gloomy wails the echoing ravines between the steep, barren slopes, that I'm now wavering. Yet I know that no part of the occurrences I have experienced, no portion of what has incredibly taken place, even though unconceivable, is made of the evanescent substance of immaterial dreams. Everything has existed in reality. All facts have actually occurred. The weigher's future is disclosed by the unreliable likeness of a fallacious vision, in the blurred indistinctness of an illusion, bespeaking the truth, although it may be concealed beyond the shadowy veil of an old fairy tale, a tale forgotten by men, and yet timeless and never vanished. And my design, to tell that fairy tale, to preserve the memory of its narration, availing myself of vibrating, life-bringing written words shaped into the form of a rescuing, sheltering shield, may help perhaps my soul not to give itself up, relinquishing all hopes, to the insatiable and overmastering power of everyday routine, to the unchallenged jurisdiction of oblivion and neglect, to the frantic and devastating rule of insane madness, which are all unrelentlessly dominating the world. I come back, in my thoughts, to when all that began, to the recollections of some months past, at the time when I was still ignorant of the mighty force embedded in the myth, and nothing did I know of the silent call that, for centuries, has been rising with furious vitality from the gloomy, secluded mountains of the Italian region of Umbria. This story commences from the lively heart, charming and elegant, of a distinguished town whose ancient name is renowned in the world. And the town's name is Norcia. You have been listening to The 11th Sibyl, Abyssus Sibylli, a novel by Michele Sanvico, demo English version.